You're the one on the deadline, man. You got the out. You're the hard out.
Let's go.
I like using that phrase in life. Like, hey, man, I got a hard out after this.
Yeah.
It makes me seem like I'm in the, cooler than I am.
Makes me feel like I'm very important.
Yeah. So you have the hard out. So let's do the show.
Right.
Why does it sound like I'm like the wiener in this one? I'm the one who sounds like the dork.
Right.
Hello and welcome to episode 410 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on? You're drinking coffee, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
I already drank my coffee.
It's like, all right. Oh, you have a limit?
Well, I had my coffee. It's 10 o'clock.
How many coffees do you have before 10 o'clock?
Usually just one.
Is it really? It's not 10 o'clock, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. You have one. What's one coffee? I know we're getting into the nitty gritty here. The details everybody wants to know.
It's, I don't know. I feel like a pretty standard mug size of coffee.
And just one cup. One coffee in the morning.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll have two, but more often than not, just one. Yeah.
Okay. We've hit a new low here.
Okay. All right. Coffee.
I'm talking about that.
Yeah.
Amazon, buy your coffee on... You can't buy your coffee on Amazon, can you?
I don't know if you can in Canada. You probably can in other places, but...
Oh, America. I'm sure you can buy everything.
You can buy the pods, I think, in Canada. Like, you can buy...
Do you have pods?
No, I don't, but I know that you can buy those. I've seen those on...
Have we discussed the pods?
Probably not. I don't think so.
Have you ever drank the pods?
Yeah, I don't like it as much.
Pardon?
It's not... They're not as good.
You're talking like the actual Nespresso George Clooney pods.
Yeah.
You're insane. They're the greatest.
No, they're really not.
Oh,
they're
my.
They're okay, but it doesn't hold a candle. We bought one of those machines. So I more for convenience than anything, just as a one person, if you don't want to make a pot, oh yeah, you have a couple of these, you know, have a nice little espresso. And we probably used them for about a year and used, you know, coffee on the weekends. Like, I like to have my actual coffee. And then, I don't know, after a year, I just kind of grew tired of it. I just don't like it as much as the coffee. And so I got rid of it. Yeah.
Well, I don't have them very often just at people's houses because I will not buy one on principle. It's weird. I have principles, but it seems like a lot of waste to me.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of waste too.
Yeah, and thus we can't do it. But at friends' houses, I make sure I ramp up their waste. I'll tell you that.
But they do have like recycling. I don't know how they actually recycle them because it seems like a lot of stuff you wouldn't be able to recycle. But you can, like, what we would do is collect all the pods in the big garbage bag, and then you could take them to. They have these like little Nespresso pop-up stores in different places. Some of them are in malls, right. And you can actually return them there. But I don't know if they're just throwing them out or not. That was one of the reasons that we got rid of it. We just didn't like the waste part of it, but we never actually threw any pods out. I'm a good person and we recycle.
I assume that they're lighting them on fire and then throwing their ashes onto a baby seal.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had assumed as well.
That's what I'd heard that about Clooney.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't. I mean, I don't know how, like, legally. Are you a lawyer? You're not a lawyer.
No, I'm not a lawyer.
I don't know if legally I can be sued for making an absurd joke like that.
Okay.
Don't sue me, George Clooney. Unless you want to whack up the tequila money down the middle, then I'm in.
All right. Yeah, he does quite well from that, does he not?
Yeah, I think he sold his tequila company for $1 billion. So
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and he needed it. He needed the money.
Yeah. Yeah. After all the Ocean's 11 money dried up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what are we talking about?
Photography.
The point is Amazon. Click through our site and help us out if you do buy your coffee on Amazon or whatever it is that you buy. If you buy your Clooney tequila, buy it on Amazon, click through our site, help us out.
Okay.
It'll save us from having to sell tequila.
Sure.
All right, what's going on, Adam? Have you guys caught up with daylight savings yet? Because we did it last week.
As of the airing of this podcast, yes. But technically, right. in real time, no, it's tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Winter Blahs, man. I really got hammered hard this year. So for us, it was last weekend. It was last Sunday was the day. And we're same as you, you know, in the wintertime, you know, on December, you know, deck 20, deck 21, whenever the solstice is. It varies from year to year, but around on that day, it gets dark at around, you know, noon 30.
Mm-hmm.
Not my favorite. But it seemed really to come out of nowhere this year. Usually I prepare myself for it mentally, and I'm like, all right, that's fine. You know, Christmas is coming. Whatever you can do to get through this, right? So I don't go in for the winter. I don't go in for this weather, but weather in the dark and et cetera, et cetera. So the winter blahs hit very hard last week. You?
No.
Okay. Well, you're a tougher guy than me then.
No, it's, I guess maybe it's just one of those things that, I don't know, it doesn't affect me. I do like to see the sun more than it shows up at this time of year, but right. I seem to be less affected by most of the people I talk to. It seems like it's a bigger deal for everybody I come in contact with. Being that I do what I do as a physiotherapist, I'm working with people all day long, and you just kind of strike up casual conversations. The weather is a popular topic. And of course, everyone mm-hmm. kind of talks about how dark or how rainy it is in Vancouver. And I mean, I notice it. I don't like the fact that it starts to get dark so early, but it doesn't affect my mood, let's say.
I wonder if that is tied in partially with hockey.
Maybe, I don't know.
Because back when I lived in Canada a long time ago, when I was done playing hockey, I wasn't a very good hockey player. Good skater, not a good hockey player. All Russian, no Finnish, right?
Right, sure.
And so my career didn't go very deep. I forget when I stopped playing. Did I play midget hockey? I don't even remember at this point. It was all house hockey. It was not good. But I refereed, and I was a ref and a linesman for quite some time at a fairly high level. And I used to ref a lot of games all over Vancouver, not just like, you know, living in Richmond. I wouldn't just, you know, I would ref in Richmond, of course, but you end up traveling a lot. And so, you know, you go out to, you know, Kits or all the different places. I'm not going to name off all the rinks, but you drive out and do one or two games. Well, I used to do games like every night. And so, you know, you end up going out there and you do the 7:30 and the 9:15 game. So you end up doing a couple games. So we weren't too worried about dark because you're inside anyways. And on top of that, now you can maybe attest to this, is one of the things I miss and then don't miss, but really do kind of miss about hockey, is there is an entire society and community built around that hockey rink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see the same people. Hey, how you doing? You know, like you probably see those people twice a week minimum.
Oh, more than that, like four times a week.
Right. Okay. So I figured it was at least two. Glad to hear it's more. So you kind of, you know, hey Frank, you know, how's the rash? That kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah, that's a lot of what goes on.
And everyone always asks you as if you know how the physio,
yeah,
method to get rid of rashes. But yeah, trust me, he doesn't. So I wonder if that was a big part of why you don't get the winter blahs.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so much of this stuff is sort of genetically based, and I don't have anything to sort of really hang my hat on when I say that, but that's just my feeling on it is it's never been something that affected me. I think it also depends on, I mean, if you're someone who their whole kind of lifestyle revolves around the outdoors and, you know, mm-hmm. they're hiking and they're, I mean, I don't know. This is
golfing.
Canoeing, kayaking. Like if you're one of those people, camping, all this outdoor related stuff, and then all of a sudden it becomes this time of year. I'm not sure if it's more of that, hey, this kind of time of year blows because I just don't have the option of doing as many of these things. Mm-hmm. And so because I'm not that person or personality, it doesn't bother me. And like you say, I'm inside in a hockey rink at this time of year and have been since I've been a kid, that it doesn't affect me the same. Now that mm-hmm. said, one of the weird things about going to work at this time of year, like I often start at 7 o'clock in the morning, and just time of year wise, like it's just so dark in the morning. And then when you leave work, it's already dark again. So that leave for work and it's dark, come home and it's dark, never really see the light of day. That part of it is a bit of a downer. So I could see why it would be very hard for a lot of people. But like I say, I don't love it. It just doesn't affect my mood or how I would react in the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in my case, I don't think it's genetic, because I found I never got the winter blahs when I was reffing hockey, and I didn't like those people. It wasn't like I would gotten, you know, like you'll find out that most guys who think that reffing hockey is a good idea, they're jerks. And except for me, I was super cool. And everyone told me so, hey man, you're super cool. But no, I was probably a jerk too, but it wasn't like I necessarily was like, oh man, I can't wait to see so-and-so. But there was that community and there was that sort of social aspect of it. And I'm guessing that you're probably much more friendly. I was friendly with people, but I'm guessing you're much more friendly with, you know, the other parents. And it's kind of like, you know, oh, hey, Adam, hey, man, like I saw that video last week. And you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm super talented. I get it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. You know, hey, sure. Why don't you buy me a coffee?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Not the pods, though, because I don't like those anymore.
No, they're not as good.
Yeah. So anyways. All right. Photography related. A little tidbit I found out by accident the other day.
Okay.
The SB20. 24 or 25, I don't actually remember now. One of the Nikons that the cheap Nikons I bought for the off camera flash for like $20. It has a sleep mode, a built in sleep mode to it. Now oh, other flat,
not good.
No, it's great.
Oh, you
it's
want
fantastic.
It.
Oh no, you can select it. It's actually it's hardwired.
Okay,
like you know how some of them, for example, the Canon, like to the Canon cameras, they have it like it's a built-in feature that you can disable if you want to. You can go into one of the menus and disable it. Well, with these Nikons, it's actually on the hardwired switch. Now you can, you know, you've off, slide it over to on, or slide it over to standby, which means after 60 seconds or so, it just goes to sleep.
Yeah.
Fine. Now, I was avoiding that up until now, until I realized the other day that when it's slid over to standby and it goes on standby and I'm using it with my CyberSyncs, my Alien B CyberSyncs, those will bring them back to life. Those, the actual wireless trigger, if you flick it once, if you just flick the trigger switch on the transmitter, it will wake the flash up and then you can use it again right away.
But why? Why would you bother?
Because the other day, like when I was I ended up not using it, but for the Halloween thing, I was having it pointing out the window and I figured, you know, maybe every half an hour I'd go snap a photo of the kids near the fire.
Right.
I would just leave it in the house, leave it off. And then if I need it, boom, up, it can pop up again. I don't want to leave it on for 4 hours. It can go to sleep. But it will wake up. Now, the Canon flashes would not wake up with the remote. Like, they will wake up on the camera, they'll wake up. But these remotes would not wake them up. And I don't think they would with the SB28 as well, because I believe it was built in into the menu as well. That was not a hard switch. This one, in the hard switch ones, the remote will wake it up. And I'm wildly, way more excited than you are, apparently.
Yeah, no, I'm good with not trusting any of that, just turning the flashes on and then back.
Well, if you're using it in a studio situation, just turn it on, leave it on. My only rub, the only really rub with this, and I don't know why they did it, I guess they figured it was an issue, is that I guess on the SB24, the order goes from left to right. It goes off, on, standby. And then on the SB25, which I also have, it goes off, standby, on. So it's not the exact same physical position for each one. And so sometimes I'll be reaching up, trying to, like, you know, I can't see the flash because it's above my head on a stand. And, you know, I'll go up there and try to flip it over. And I have to remember, okay, which one is this one? Which one's the off? Like, which one's the on? Which one's the standby? real problem. I can sense that you're really feeling for me here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're gonna have to sort this out in therapy.
Well, I wish they were all the same. However, I was excited that they wake up, because there are times where I'll put a little sleeper out there and just need it in half an hour, and off it goes. So, like I said, for $20, love it.
Okay.
All right. Reminder, monthly challenge for November is fall colors. Hopefully you have some.
I hope so.
I went and shot a little bit around there. It appears to be showing up, so hopefully I'll get lucky. The rest of you, I don't really care about.
Okay.
Yeah. So hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, or hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we will check that out in December. Now, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, not really. I'm hoping, like, again, just because of the way we're recording this, I'm hoping that I have some, you know, some good video from the last hockey game. So
you didn't rent a lens like we talked about. We didn't rent one this weekend.
No, I just, again, it's not convenient for me to go back and forth into Vancouver. So, I mean, again, I like it. I like the idea of that seemed to be a really good deal and take it back on Tuesday, but it's just not really in the cards for me to get back and forth to Vancouver. I wish there was a place in Richmond that I could do this. And I did some searching on the web and can't find anything. There's like a sort of a Richmond lens rentals that's not a brick and mortar place that is kind of like I guess a place you can call and you can go pick up, and they have all kinds of stuff. I don't know if it's out of some guy's house or not. And it didn't seem to be
legit.
It didn't seem to be reputable the way Bofoto is. So maybe at some point I will. Maybe if it worked out where there was a tournament or something in Vancouver where I could go pick it up, do the game, and then literally just drop it off so I don't have to go back and forth to Vancouver. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, anytime you get an ad for Happy Fun Lens Rental in the back of a Tim Hortons bathroom, just go ahead and read the fine print.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I mean, just to go back to, I don't know if it's shooting interesting or not, but we was interesting to me. We to go back to the getting dark early, the good news is the sunset happens really early.
Yeah.
Which means you're out with your kids, they're still playing at the playground, et cetera, et cetera. And so I had the Fuji X100F with me, which I hadn't shot with in a little while. I just, for some reason, I mean, how many working digital cameras do I have now? I think I have 1, 2, 3, technically 5. If the Mark II still hangs on, which it does, which I haven't been using anyways, but I guess I have 5 digital cameras. And so they don't, you know, I guess the X100 sort of just hasn't gotten its, you know, its turn lately.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought it out the other day and had a nice little sunset. So there's a shot of my son looking at the sunset. That was the day he busted his lip.
Nice.
And just for the record, we are shooting a little bit ahead here because of winter timing, because of our schedule, Adam and I's schedule. So we're recording a little bit ahead. So if you get a sense that events are compressed, you're not wrong.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, so this is the sunset. He's looking at the sunset with the X100.
Right. No, it looks good.
I like how the detail in the shadow side of his head, like there's still enough light. We're getting that little rim light off his left side of his face and his left shoulder. And the little lens flare, that really tight round lens flare looked like, wow, that looks really cool. I haven't shot lens flare with this camera yet. And, was pretty jazzed about this, the colors, everything. Love that camera.
Okay.
And then today went out for a walk. Today was a holiday in Germany and, so the kids have the week off. And so went into town, had some lunch, and just kind of walked around. As you can see, the leaves are falling, although I'm not 100% sure that the colors are all there. There's some yellow, not a lot of reds, but again, with the X100, just snapped a couple of snapshots, one black and white, one in color of the fall.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was wrong. Not interesting.
No, not really.
Well, for me, it was. It's nice to be out and down in the fall.
Okay.
All right. Photo challenge is Bounce Flash. Why Bounce Flash? Do you use Bounce Flash enough?
No.
Like we talked about, we've talked, I wonder when, how early on, are you okay? Did you have a tumble?
I just hucked my phone on the ground, so that's that's what you heard. I don't know if the microphone picked it up the same way that you probably heard it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, to the listeners at home, it sounded like Adam fell down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, no, that was just me dropping my phone. So.
Okay. So I actually don't remember. I should have looked. When do you think we talked about Bounce Flash? Have we ever specifically talked about Bounce Flash?
I think we have. Yeah. I'm sure we have actually. I just,
as a topic, I don't know.
Yeah, we have.
I have talked about external flash.
Yep. I'm sure we've talked about Bounce Flash, but again, 400 and what episode is this?
410.
Okay. So I'm going to have no idea as to where it falls, but I'm going to say 208.
Okay, so we talked about external flash, which I'm looking at the image of the album cover, which it must have been a while ago because my hair is very dark. It's episode 26.
Okay, so I was close.
But I'm bouncing it. Now, I don't know if we specifically talked about bouncing and how to bounce. I know we talked about the black foamy thing. We ended up having Neil Van Niekerk on. And so he talked about the black foamy thing, which is bounce.
Mm-hmm.
That was episode 117 back in April of 2013. Okay, so there's a little history. We have spoken
and
about...
And we did a recent photo challenge that was outside bounce.
We did, that's right.
Yeah, we did that.
Oh, so we repeating that? I forgot about that.
And that was outside bounce specifically. And I mean, on that episode, I'm sure we talked a fair amount about what we were doing as far as Bounce Flash was concerned. But it was not the topic. It was a photo challenge.
I think it's come up with Amber as well because she's a big bouncer, obviously.
Okay.
Being a wedding photographer. And so anyway, so it comes up. I don't know that we've ever talked about it. Like I said, like as a topic, like, hey, episode 410, Bounce Flash. And that's not what this one's going to be exactly, but for the challenge is Bounce Flash, because like I was just trying to get at, I for some reason, you kind of go through, you know, phases, I think. Not even phases, but like just cycles of what you shoot, like how you shoot. Like you'll have a lens, that'll be your go-to lens for 4 months. You know, like, oh yeah, your 70 to 200 is the lens you grab. Do you have a lens on your camera right now?
Yeah, it was the 70-200.
Would you say that's your go-to lens?
I don't know. It depends on what I'm shooting. I think they get used pretty evenly between the 50mm, the 85, and the 70-200. I'm going to say if I was to draw a pie chart, it would be a 33.3% split with each.
Okay.
I just kind of cycle through them, yeah.
Okay, no, I do use everything, but there are times where it's my go-to thing. I like the 85. Like, if it comes down to, like, let's say I say to you, hey, man, like, are you going to shoot with your 85 or your 70-200? Do you have a preference there? Is that 50-50?
I think if I could use either one, like, I'd probably go with the 85 because it's lighter, and I like the fact that it opens up wider. So
sure,
yeah. If it's just head to head, and I can do with either, but I just find so many scenarios where having the 200mm is nice. So that's right. where I find it more or less kind of evens out. And the 50mm, it's really just okay. I want to have a little bit ability to go a little wider, so the 50mm just comes up so often because just in terms of my physical constraints.
I get like that, just in style-wise, I get like that where I'm like, you know what? I'm only going to shoot at magic hour. That's all I want to do. I don't care about anything else. I don't need to shoot at noon o'clock. I can shoot at magic hour, so I'm just going to shoot at magic hour. And the rest of it, I'm just going to put my camera away and the end. And thus, when you shoot at magic hour, you leave the flash at home. Like, how often are you out at magic hour, nice, awesome sunset, and you're like, all right, let's get the on-camera flash.
No, it
doesn't happen. So it's kind of become a, I don't want to say lost art, because that just sounds, that's not true, but I don't do it as much as I should, because bounce flash is you know, on-camera bounce flash is wildly handy, and if you get good at it, it is an extremely useful tool to have in your toolbox. Right. So, hence, the photo challenge is bounce flash. All right, so let's have a look at yours first. Okay. This is broad lighting.
Yes, it is, actually.
On purpose.
In some ways, it kind of was, but in other ways, I didn't really care. I just wanted to recreate a photo that I took of my son years ago when he was, I want to say he was maybe only a year and a half, and he was on the couch, and I sort of bounced flash, snooted flash into a wall and had it come back and sort of have this effect. So he was willing to cooperate for a minute, and I put the flash actually off camera. So this is not on camera flash, this is off camera. And then I used like one of those big silver sun reflectors that you would like use as an auto shade that would go on the front mm-hmm. of your car to keep the sun off. So I have one of those that is not used for that, but I use as a cheap silver bounce. And
right.
So rather than get out the big circular one, I just thought, oh, this one's perfect. And I just set it off to camera left. And then I aimed the flash into that and had all of the light in this image come from that bounce flash. And then I just was trying to position it so I wouldn't have too dark of a shadow sigh on his face. And then it's just mm-hmm. a 50 millimeter, pretty wide open, I'm going to say around F2, with the focus all being on his eyes. And then it was just really trying to see what looked interesting to me. He's got a pretty intense look on his face. I really like how the eyes look. The focus of the photo was really the eyes and the lips. His lips look a little bit dry. But the eyes look super cool to me, especially the shadow side eye. Just the way the light's catching it looks like it's a deep photo in terms of you want to know what the heck's going through his mind. And the answer is, hurry up, Dad. I want to get back to whatever I was doing, which is
Fortnite.
No, there's none of that. None of that.
good to hear. See, there's the thing is, I agree with everything you're saying, except for it is incongruent with a 9-year-old. It's freaking me out. The eyes are a little, he's an old soul.
I know. That's what I thought too. And
yeah.
I did have him take a few, there's a couple of photos where he's got a big goofy grin and, but the lighting doesn't suit it. So that's the other thing is that the big toothy grin, looks off. Whereas this looks like the deep old soul kind of lighting that matched the photo. So this one grabbed me. I just liked it. And it doesn't always have to be sunshine and lollipops.
It does. It does have, that's the title of our show, our sister show.
Sunshine and Lollipops.
Well, lollipops and sunshine, but you're close enough. I don't care.
Unicorns.
I'm not going to split hairs.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Okay. So yeah, I think the only issue I have is that it does look too intense for a 9-year-old. That's the only incongruous part. Otherwise, I like the lighting. I mean, it looks really, it looks contrasty enough, but you can still see the shadow side, which is nice.
And so easy. This is literally a 1-minute photo, but from start to finish, mm-hmm. maybe even 30 seconds. And that's where, you know, bounce flash, you can really control bounce flash. And I mean, some bounce flash is okay, I'm going to put the camera or the flash on my camera and I'm going to bounce it off the ceiling. And so that's bounce flash. Or bounce flash can be very controlled in that, you know, I was directing all of this light through a snoot to one small little bounce pad very close to his face, and then kind of feathering it the way you would, you know, a soft box with a grid on it. So mm-hmm. You can control it as well. So that's all I was going for, is I wanted to show just a different use of bounce than the way we might typically think about bounce flash.
All right. Well, I went with mine. I went on camera because I wanted to keep it very, very simple. I shot a number of them, but this was actually the last minute Hail Mary, because like I wasn't happy with the other versions. I'm not even going to show you. Not going to waste your time. But this was on camera, and I guess I completely forgot that we did outside bounce flash. And I don't even remember. Is this what I did for my outside bounce flash?
Something like this, yeah.
I think it's probably very similar.
It might even be the same jacket.
I don't know. It would not have been the jacket. It would have been summer here.
You've used this jacket for something, though.
Jacket has shown up. This jacket on my daughter, this is the one she wears when, like, she's at the very end of wearing this jacket. She's about to grow out of it. And so we kind of let her, you know, before we hand it down, it's like, yeah, go ahead and roll around in dog crap. I don't care. This is your, whatever you want to do with it, jacket, go nuts. And so she had it on today, and I said, all right, well, let's go take your picture. This is just bounced off the house. I wanted to shoot outside. I shot some stuff inside. I went nuts with the bounce flash earlier today. I went and set up a whole studio kind of thing, but except for with on-camera bounce. And we had fog machine, we had a background, and for whatever reason, I think I blame my daughter, actually. Her posing needs some work. I didn't like the photos, and I said, let's just go outside and keep it relatively simple. And that's all this is. It's just a square image outside, two lights, though, which we're going to kind of talk about this week. That's the topic. But this is bounce flash.
Okay,
you're a genius, Alan. This is where you say that stuff.
Okay, you're a genius, Alan. Thanks. It's amazing.
Well, it would sound weird if I said it.
Yeah. So you just aim the, like, are you snooting this or what are you doing? You're just bouncing it off the house and then it's coming back and hitting her in the face.
It's that simple. And you can see there is a very, like, it's obviously less contrasty than the one of your son. Mm-hmm. So less directional, but you see, like, the shadow. There is a shadow on her nose, mm-hmm. on her, the right side of her, like, her right side of the face. So again, you know, if you had to classify this, you'd say it's short lighting, but it just barely by about 2 degrees.
She got lipstick on?
No, doesn't wear lipstick.
Okay, looks like lipstick.
Yeah, she's got felt pen. Put felt pen on.
Okay. No, I was gonna say Sharpie.
Yeah, we use the red Sharpie. No, does not wear makeup yet. Well, she does for fun, but not like the dress up stuff, but not the going to school, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
So other than that, it's very, very simple. Shot with the 24-105, which I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, we talked about the 24-105. I don't think I mentioned in my review of that where I really like that lens is at 105, right? They're racked right out at the far end of the zoom. It's pretty good for portraits. 105 is a really nice focal length, and it has the image stabilization, which really comes into play when you want to use flash, because you're limited by, on a full frame camera, you're limited at like 1/200th, or in your case, 1/180th of a second, mm-hmm. which isn't really, I mean, technically it's enough to stop it at 105, 105 mils, but not really. You want to really get sharp images without camera blur. Without motion blur. And so that's where the IS really is really handy. Overall, I don't really care about it in photography, only in video. Just when you're using flash, it's extremely handy. And it was a big help in this situation. So I killed all the ambient. So we're, you know, ISO 100, F4 to really blow out the background. It was very flat lighting, overcast day. And then 1/200th. Basically killed most of the ambient light. Not all of it, but it's basically about, the background's about 2 stops underexposed, 1.5 stop underexposed, and then that's when the IS really helped out. Okay, so let's get into the topic. The topic is how to mix bounce flash with off-camera flash.
Okay.
Now, what I like about bounce flash, what we talked about, is how unbelievably simple it is. Whether you're going off camera like Adam or staying on camera like I did, I find it much, much, much easier on camera. Although, so Adam did his shot as a 60-second photo. On camera, it might have been 29 seconds. So realistically, you're not saving that much time, but it is, if you're running around, like if you have to run around at an event or something like that, on-camera bounce flash is your best friend. And so getting decent, like just getting decent, halfway good bounce flash is wildly simple. You would say, like, let's see, what do I do to get good bounce flash is just set my camera into manual mode, dial in that, whatever, like, depending on the lighting, the situation you're in. If you're inside, obviously the ISO is going to be higher. Dial in your ISO, call it, I don't know, maybe 640 you're going to dial in if you're inside somewhere. Set your shutter speed, depending on the lens, et cetera, as high as you can get it without, you know, without killing too much ambient. You want to knock the ambient down, but start at around 1/200th of a second, and then dial in your aperture and leave it. So I would dial that in, get it set for about one stop underexposed, probably, and then let the flash do the rest. Fire it into ETTL mode. No reason to do manual flash on camera bounce. Do you ever do that?
Not that I can think of.
It comes up. Like it is very rare. I'm not saying it never happens. It can see never from where it's sitting.
Okay.
But every once in a while I'll have to do it to kind of override it. But it honestly, given how much I've shot bounce flash, as I mentioned, it doesn't come up. So that's great. Now you can run around and just boom, at an event, you can blast away and you're gonna get well lit images. The flash is gonna, the ETTL does a really great job. You can use the flash EV, what do you call it? What's the word for it?
ETTL.
Yeah, the ETTL, but the when you override it, exposure compensation.
Exposure compensation.
You can tell, okay, a little bit more flash, a little bit less, but generally it gets it about right, and off you go, and you're bouncing and bouncing and bouncing. Well, that's very simple. Let's add another element that is actually very simple as well. And that's what I did here with my daughter's shot. Add a backlight. So now we're going to get that easy on-camera ETTL light with a basic backlight. This is a killer technique for events. If you're shooting cocktail parties or weddings or whatever it is in a big room, this is probably the best tool you can bring that's really going to blow everyone's hair back. So the move is you should own one dedicated flash for your camera. Okay. Whether that is a Canon for your Canon, a Nikon for your Nikon, or even a Yong Nuo. I've never used one. I've heard they're very good. They're really quite cheap. But something that you can put on your camera and will communicate with that camera in ETTL or ITTL or whatever your camera manufacturer calls it.
Yeah.
So you should have that. This is what makes your life easy. Then go back and do the ambient exposure. Start with the ambient exposure like we talked about. Leave the flash in the bag. Establish what your ambient exposure is going to be before you put the flash on, keeping in mind that you better keep it under the sync speed, the maximum sync speed of your specific camera. Then you throw the dedicated flash onto that camera in ETTL mode. Okay? If you want to add a black foamy thing, go ahead. If you don't. If you don't know what it is, go back and listen to our episode with Neil Van Niekerk, and he'll tell you all about it. Now, here's where we add the off-camera flash. Okay? I prefer to keep things extremely simple. And as I've probably said about a million times on the show, keep your eyes open for an old Nikon SB model flash. SB24. I have a 24, I have a 25, I have a 26. I don't have a 27, unfortunately. We'll see. I don't even know what those offer. And I now am the proud owner of three SB28s. And you can find them on Craigslist or at stores or whatever. Honestly, for some of like the 24 and 25, the SB24, 25, you can find it for around $20. Get one. Get three. Like, they are the best money you can spend. Okay?
Gotcha.
So now what we're going to do is we're in the hall, we're in the wherever we're shooting, we're going to set our backlight. We're not going to put anything on it, no umbrella, nothing like that. So it's going to be a hard light. We're going to set it to relatively low power because I'm guessing inside isn't going to be tremendously bright. We don't want to be filling the entire room with light. We just kind of want to be hitting people's backlight. So we're going to set it to a relatively low power, probably around 1/16th or 1/32nd of its power.
Okay.
On a medium to tight zoom, so somewhere from 50 to 85 mil on the zoom, which those SBs will do. Put it on a stand, bring a sandbag, put it off in the background, out of the way, and set it up kind of high. And then just sort of try to rake it diagonally across the area. That's what I try to do, is set it up so it'll kind of shoot across the area diagonally where I'm going to be shooting. Maybe it's the dance floor, maybe it's, like I said, a cocktail party area, whatever it is. Sort of aim it somewhere towards the middle. The light intensity is going to be very hot at right next to it, but it's going to fall off as you get away, but it doesn't matter. Subjects close to the light are going to be hotter than those far away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Do you care?
No.
No. All we're worried about is that little bit of rim light. This is really cool looking. Wow, where did that come from? So that's it. That's how you set up your light. Now what you're going to do is you're going to walk around with your bounce flash and not even worry about your backlight. Now we're going to get to triggering that light in a second because there's multiple ways. But once we figure out how to do that, we're going to set it and forget it. And we're just going to walk around and shoot as if we're not using it at all. And our bounce light, we're just going to focus on our bounce light, which direction we're going to bounce it from, what are we going to bounce it off, and we're going to go ahead and shoot with impunity, knowing that that light is just going to be lighting up our subjects in a really cool manner.
Okay.
Sometimes, you get lens flare. Who cares?
Right.
The answer to the next few questions is who cares? So if you want to chime in, go ahead. Sometimes we're going to see the light. The light will actually be in the background of our photo, blasting the image.
Who cares?
I don't care. It's going to look pretty cool.
Yeah.
And maybe it's going to be, sometimes it's going to be covered by somebody. Sometimes it's going to be out of the image. Sometimes lens flare, sometimes not. You're going to get an amazing variety. Let's say the DJ has got a fog machine. Guess what? You're in. Like, this is going to look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all the reasons to have this. Now, physically, how do we trigger this light? How would you go about doing this?
Using the Yongyo triggers that I have.
Yes, but okay, but now, there is a way you can do it. Let's say you own two dedicated Canon flashes. And you put one on the stand, one on the camera. They have some sort of an infrared communication mode that they use.
Okay.
This is way too confusing and expensive. Don't even bother. I would suggest to you, don't waste your time and money on this. Your Yongnuo, now that's a radio trigger, correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. Now your Yongnuo, though, it's kind of a smart one, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can control that flash from the camera.
Correct.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you like about that?
I can change it on the go very easily.
Very easily. However, it is one more variable to be thinking of while you're trying to photograph action.
Sure, okay.
And do you need to change it? You probably don't need, in this case, you don't need to change it.
Okay.
So if you have it, I'm not suggesting don't use it, but don't go out of your way, because you can't use one of these $20 Nikon flashes. I don't think you can use one of the SB24s with that. Can you?
I don't know.
I highly doubt. Well, you have an SB28, right?
Yeah, you can only use it in manual mode with that.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at. So you can't go in the Canon menu on camera and dial down the power or the zoom or whatever it is that you want to change in camera.
No, they make dedicated Nikon ones that I'm guessing you can if the Nikon flash has that, but then you need to be shooting off of a Nikon camera as well.
Okay. So now you're gonna drop a lot more money on these flashes.
Correct.
Now, and perhaps it's a young, newer one, so it's only $150 or something like that. Is that about what they go for?
For the triggers?
No. For the if you need a dedicated flash, you need a flash that has ETTL and electronics. Yeah. So back in the day, you were going to drop like $500 on a Canon flash, but now you can get away with something from Young Nuo for like $150. Still, in my opinion, still too expensive for this situation.
Right.
You can get away with $20, which at $20 at the party, if somebody, you know, some drunken party member knocks it over and breaks it, you're not going to be happy, but you're not the end of the world. Like, you can probably steal that guy's jacket at the end of the night and call it even.
Right.
Right. So that's my suggestion, is get the cheaper flash, and now you can only use it in manual mode, which is fine. Now you can get a trigger that all it will do is just trigger that, tell it, hey, fire. Every time you've pulled, you trip the camera, boom, it fires it off at that one setting. And that's all you need. Okay. So here's the situation, is my trigger slides into the hot shoe on my camera. This is a problem if I want to put the flash, because I want to put my flash on there, the bounce flash I want to put on camera. It also has an option where I can connect it via PC sync cable and then Velcro it to the flash. So now on camera, on the hot shoe, I fire off my ETTL flash. And meanwhile, the other trigger is getting tripped from the PC sync into the remote. Boom, off it goes. You following me?
Yep.
Now your Young Nuos. Now Adam has a hard out, like we talked about. Adam has a hard out. We're doing this in 120 seconds. Go.
It has a pass through the trigger.
Yours is a pass through, meaning you put the trigger on, and then your dedicated flash fits on top of that.
Correct.
How do you feel about that?
It's fine. I don't use it very often, but it works if you need to. But I don't like having that tall of a apparatus on top of the camera.
That tall, and what's the build quality of the pass-through?
It's actually pretty good. It's metal, and yeah, no, it's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not really the narrative I was going for.
Okay. It's super crappy, and it's going to fall apart.
Well, in the past, the ones I have seen were super crappy, like the cowboy triggers or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Were awful. So that's good.
And
that
the cactus
those good.
Ones were bad. Yeah.
Right. So if you can trust them, if you can trust the fact that it's your flash isn't going to fall off, you know, because of a flaw in the pass through, you're good to go. And so that's my setup. So my setup is, if maybe with yours, you have a PC sync cable that you can plug in as well and just Velcro it on the side. I don't know. But essentially, you're tripping two different flashes, one on the hot shoe, one by a PC sync, still wireless, and you can still roam around and shoot wherever you want.
Right.
Now, lastly, the flash I do highly recommend, if you can find a used SB26, a Nikon, going to cost you more money, probably around $80, but it has a built-in optical trigger. This is awesome. I love this. I happen to just pick another one up. Maybe we'll see. It's supposed to be waiting for me in Vancouver next time I get there. But I will now have two of these. They are awesome. It sees a flash, it flashes. It's great. A couple downsides, if for some reason you want to disable the flash and not shoot with the backlight, you have to physically go over there and turn it off. Like, whereas if you had the remote, you could just unplug the remote on your camera, but you're probably not doing that anyways, so who cares? Use the optical trigger. The other downside being that other people with their point and shoots are gonna, they might trigger your flash, but that sounds like a their problem, not your problem. I did notice today when I was shooting with the fog machine that once the fog machine got a little thick, it had trouble picking up the on-camera flash, so it was not triggering. But that's kind of a rare situation. We'll see. Maybe, you know, that was something to think about. But in general, it's awesome. The one other issue being that there sometimes can be an ETTL issue, meaning when the initial ETTL flash, the test flash goes off, the SB26 will then fire, and then the camera will then take that into its calculation of how much light to use on the second flash. That can be an issue. If it's as a backlight, you'll find it probably won't interfere with your exposure. If it does, there is a delayed setting on the SB26. So for this technique, for whether it's portraits or events, highly, highly recommend this for events. This technique will let you roam around and shoot very quickly with amazing results. You start using the black foamy thing. You put a quarter CTO on your on-camera flash, or maybe a half CTB maybe on your backlight. Now you're mixing light, and all of a sudden you're that pro. Like the results are absolutely amazing. I highly recommend running with this.
Okay.
All right. Monthly challenge for November is fall colors. Hashtag that to Hosers Monthly Challenge, or hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram. And we'll check that out. Photo challenge for next week, Adam. We're doing gobo or cookie. Same thing.
Okay.
Something that goes before optics. But if you don't know what that is, go ahead and Google back, and we'll figure that out. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. AdamSchwartz.ca. Sorry, I said it again. You dropped out.
You dropped out.
Oh, okay.
Where can people go to find your stuff?
Again, AdamSchwartz.ca.
Okay, and you can find mine at AlNatridge.com, or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.